You are now listening to the iScript of Soul Shadows 2, Cain, by Gabriel Moronta. Fade in. Interior, the alcove. As we enter, pop, Tennis pulls the cork from a dusty bottle of wine. She pours herself a glass. Tennis drinks red. Tennis be likin' wine, 'cause every bottle be holdin' its own secrets. She takes a sip and smiles, satisfied. And Tennis, she also be likin' secrets. She carries her wine to the display cabinet, and with her free hand, she swings open one of its groaning doors. And she be having so many. Another sip of wine as she ponders what to pluck from her collection tonight. Wine, it be making Tennis feel romantic. And if all the things a man could be given a woman, she reaches into the cabinet, ain't nothing more romantic than one of these. And she pulls out a ring, a beautifully crafted piece of jewelry, centered by a magnificent black diamond. Tennis holds out the ring for our inspection. On the ring, the golden band glimmers, and like onyx, the black diamond sparkles with a dark malevolence. A ring be a circle, a symbol of infinity, but infinite joy or infinite torment. Moving towards the diamond, its blackness is intoxicating, almost hypnotic. That depend on who you ask. But this ring, she be carrying nothing but despair. And this tale be called Cain.
Super Cain.
And moving ever deeper into the diamond, we are enveloped. There is nothing to see. Nothing to see but black. Dissolve to interior, dark room. Nothing's visible. Man. Hello. Let me guess, you're here for Cain, right? He's moved on. But ain't it convenient that his story still resides here? With me? Snaps fingers. Life's a playful bitch. This is a fact. Look at the shitty world you live in. She doesn't control or persuade people to make choices. She creates the obstacles that lead you to make your choices and forces you to make those choices in a stressful environment. All of this, you take as wisdom. Lessons that you learned the hard way, which made you a stronger person. Bullshit. Who the fuck said you had to learn it the hard way? People who went down that same hard path and survived will claim fairness. They went down that path, why not you? I'll show you fairness. Interior, Gabriel's apartment. Living room, night. Ring. A black diamond is clasped between a person's fingers. Ring. In the background, Gabriel's body is on the floor. His face is turned away from us. Blood covers the back of his bald head and spreads across the floor. Ring. A dog statue is covered a few feet away from him. Blood covers the bottom portion of the statue. Ring. Cain, mid-20s, full head of hair, holds the ring and stares at the ring with malice. Ring. Cain's focus remains on the ring in his hand. A high pitch sounds, and then silence. A muffled melody now sounds. It's much closer. Reaching into his pocket, Cain takes out his cell phone. Seeing the caller, he composes himself, even answering his cell with a fake smile. Cain. Hey, Grace. Everything's fine. Cain's fake smile fades.
No, he's not here. I changed my mind to go with him. If he comes back, I'll let him know you called.
No problem. Bye. Cain, with malice, hangs up his cell. He turns his focus to Gabriel now, whose blood slowly spreads wider across the floor. Interior, dark room, man. What many people consider as the end is simply the beginning. There's no true end. Something always has to come up. Why? Because it's everlasting fun for the bitch we referred to as life. Interior, Gabriel's apartment, living room, night. Cain's looking at Gabriel. He stands up, walks to Gabriel, and drops the ring on his back. Walking over the body, he enters the kitchen, where he acquires several dish towels, several garbage bags, a roll of tape, and a mop. He returns back to the living room, where the blood continues to slowly spread wider. Cain mops the blood up. A darkish brown stain is left over the beige color floor. Using the dish towels and several pieces of tape, Cain seals up a wound located at the back of Gabriel's head. Ring. Cain glances at Gabriel's cell phone. Seeing the caller, he places it away and goes back to work. Mark shows on the cell phone screen. Ring. Cain stuffs Gabriel's upper body into one garbage bag. Ring. Cain stuffs Gabriel's lower body into another garbage bag. Ring. He throws the black diamond ring into the garbage bag, covering Gabriel's upper body. Ring. High pitch. Then silence. Tapes both garbage bags together at the center. Ring. John shows on the cell phone screen now. The names pop up on Gabriel's cell phone as Cain uses up all the garbage bags on Gabriel. Interior. Dark room. Man. Missing people will always attract attention. The amount of attention depends on many circumstances, such as popularity. But that doesn't mean popular people can't go missing.
It simply means that you need to cover your ass so that people don't suspect you as the murderer. Interior, Gabriel's bedroom, night. With a huge duffel bag on the floor, Kane packs the bag with some of Gabriel's clothes and shoes. Off-screen, Gabriel's cell phone rings. Furious, Kane continues packing. The pitch, and then silence. Kane zips the bag up and leaves with it. Interior, hallway. Kane drops the bag. He pauses, glancing at the bag and then Gabriel's body. How's he going to take this down, and where to put them? Snapping his fingers, he goes to the closet, grabs a large laundry bag and stuffs Gabriel's body inside, making it fit. Next, he goes to Gabriel's bedroom, and after ransacking the place, he picks up a set of keys off the bed. He leaves. Interior, building, deserted hallway. He takes the stairs, 5 floors down. Exterior, street. He stops at a decent-looking car, enters, drives back to exterior, building, where he double parks and exits. Interior, building, hallway. Kane exits, carrying the duffel bag on the shoulder and dragging the laundry bag on the ground. He presses the elevator button. The elevator arrives. Opening the door, he finds someone inside. Closing the door, he glances at the laundry bag, presses the elevator button again. The elevator arrives. Opening the door, he finds someone else inside. Closing the door, he glances at the laundry bag, pounds the elevator button. The elevator arrives. He opens to find it finally empty and enters. Interior, elevator. The elevator stops on the 3rd floor, where an elderly man opens the door. Elderly man. Going down? Kane. Yes. The elderly man enters. That's a lot of stuff. Junk. Thrown it away. Interior, building, main floor. The elderly man exits first and very kindly holds the door open for Kane. Kane. Thanks. Once Kane is fully out, the elderly man leaves Kane alone. Exterior, brick building. Kane makes it in the car, opens the back door and places the duffel bag inside. He goes to the trunk, opens it, and to his dismay, he finds it cluttered with stuff. He angrily looks at the laundry bag and works on cleaning the clutter. He moves the clutter to the back seat very quickly and very carelessly. He plants Gabriel's body in the trunk and shuts it. He goes around to the driver's side, enters, and starts the car. Interior, dark room, man. He went to bury the body. Many choose to bury the body for the obvious reason that it's simple and quick. As sick as they are to kill someone, they're not sick enough to do something far worse, such as burning the body. Interior, deep hole, night. Kane digs. From above, thunder roars. Kane looks up to the sky. Tick, 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 tick. Raindrops fall. Tossing the shovel up, Kane gets out. Exterior, forest, night. Taking a breather, he gazes out. The vast, dark forest. The only audible sounds are the raindrops hitting the leaves, the branches, and the ground. From above, thunder sounds again. Kane walks, constantly looking around. Exterior, side road. Reaching the car, Kane pops the hood open, heaves Gabriel's body out, and drags it into the forest. Exterior, hole. Kane drops the body into the hole and quickly turns around to find no one. Kane leaves quicker. Exterior, side road. Opening the back seat, Kane pulls out the duffel bag, dragging it across the wet ground. He leaves. Reaching the hole, he dumps the duffel bag in and shovels dirt inside. Interior, dark room. The darkness has dissipated a bit. A disheveled shape is located in the middle. Everything else is hard to make out. Man. Looks like Kane solved his problem. But, unbeknownst to him, he's just given him a new one. Not because it's just or it's right, as many of are already concluding, but because life's a bitch who likes to have fun. Exterior, forest, clear day. Looking around, Kane finds himself back in the forest. Perplexed, Kane moves forward, warily. A few feet away, through some branches, he sees Christian, 30s, a man who'd be handsome if he didn't have a scratch on his left cheek. Clad in black, Christian stands over Gabriel's burial site, a higher, uneven mound. His hands are behind his back, his wavy blonde hair flows naturally with the wind, and his dark eyes stare directly at Kane. Christian, come out, Kane. Kane stands still. Christian, come now, stop wasting my time. Kane doesn't move. Christian, have it your way. Knowing that Kane's watching him, Christian reveals 2 empty hands. Slapping them together, he rubs his hands till smoke comes out. Stops. Opening his hands, the black ring rests in the center. Holding the ring, he tosses the ring to his other hand, rolls the ring across his fingers, makes the ring disappear and appear back. Tossing it up in the air, he catches it in his mouth. Swiftly, he sits, Indian style, on the ground. Grabbing a handful of dirt, he stuffs it into his mouth. He chews. Starting roughly at first, his chewing gradually turns normal. It slowly speeds up till he finally, abruptly stops. Reclining back, he kicks up,
spitting out the contents in the form of a small black dust cloud. He stands, arms outstretched and legs apart. Behind, the dust cloud slowly descends and touches the ground. Between Christian's opened legs, a hand breaks through the ground. Cain's mouth drops as he sees who it is. Gabriel breaks through the ground, slowly. He gets his upper body out before Christian offers his hand. Gabriel accepts it and gets out faster. Christian helps Gabriel stand. He cradles Gabriel's head in his hands. Gently raising Gabriel's head, Christian makes eye contact with Gabriel. Cain watches Christian say something to Gabriel, but unfortunately he can't hear it. Christian raises his right hand. With a flick of his finger, the black ring appears as if it never was destroyed. He hands the ring over to Gabriel. Gabriel leaves Christian, walking in Cain's direction. Guessing what's coming, Cain flees. He doesn't pass more than a couple of trees before he's swooped up and hanging upside down. Swinging around, Cain catches glimpses of Gabriel coming. Cain, "Bro, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." Gabriel passes him by and continues walking. A loud crunch sounds from the side. "Christian, he won't hurt you." Cain turns, finding Christian leaning against a tree and eating an apple. "Christian, that's my job." He moves close, taking a bite from his apple. Cain, "Who?" Christian, "Life's a playful bitch. Once you think everything's settled, it comes along and messes things up." "Why?" you might ask. "Because she's a playful bitch." Moves closer, takes another bite. Cain's eyes droop. Christian, "Apparently watching people happy is boring for her. So, she likes to liven things up. More for her enjoyment, if I may say so myself. But what can you do?" Moves closer, takes another bite. Cain blinks and opens his eyes wide. Christian, "You can't escape from her. Not even in death. You have to play with the bitch. It's never personal for her, just a game." He's now a foot away from Cain. Takes another bite before throwing it away. Cain tries to shake the drowsiness away, but it's futile. Christian, "You belong to her, but the question is, how long before she gets you? She can have you now or later, but since she's a playful bitch who finds happiness to be boring, she wants this to be exciting. You saw what I did and gave your brother. You understand what happened back there. He won't stop till he fulfills it. Your job is to stop him. If he fulfills his purpose, you're hers." He walks away. Cain's eyes are half open. "Christian, your game starts now. And since we already know life's a playful bitch, it's safe to say that you don't have much time for this game." Cain's eyes finally shut. Interior, Gabriel's home. Gabriel's bedroom, day. Cain awakes with a jolt. Looking around the room, recognizing his environment, he becomes calm. Interior, dark area. Man, a dream. How can you tell? When you're dreaming, it feels real, doesn't it? But you're dreaming. I suppose there are ways of finding out. Interior, Gabriel's apartment. Gabriel's bedroom, day. The sound of the main door closing. Male's voice. "Hey, sweetie." Hearing this, Cain goes to investigate. Hallway. The jingling of keys. Male's voice. "Everything's fine. I don't know where I was." Cain's mouth drops as he sees who's talking. Gabriel, 20s. Bald, has a scratch on his left cheek, is on a cell phone. Gabriel, I don't remember. Interior, dark room. By the sound of footsteps moving right to left and vice versa, we can guess the man is pacing. Man, like before when I said there's no real end, there's always going to be a way of solving your problems. How much it solves the problem is another problem. Stops. There's still a great doubt looming over Cain's situation. I mean, no one comes back from the dead, unless you believe in religion or fiction. You die, you die. So what's happening? Has Cain lost his mind? Interior, Gabriel's apartment. Hallway, day. Gabriel's on his cell phone. Gabriel, I am serious. To Cain, you all right? Cain doesn't respond. Gabriel, sure, come over. Bye. Hanging up the cell phone, he walks over to Cain. Cain? Cain! I ain't deaf. Respond then, what's wrong? A nightmare. I had a few minutes ago. What was it about? Exterior. Forest. Day. Flashback. Christian kicks up and spits the contents out in a small black dust cloud. Gabriel's hand breaks through the ground. Interior. Gabriel's apartment. Hallway. Present day. Cain. I thought... He breaks down into tears. Gabriel. Hey, it was a dream.
Kane nods and hugs Gabriel, touching Gabriel's head specifically where the wound was. It's clean. Interior, dark room. No footsteps. The disheveled shape stands in the middle. Man, Gabriel doesn't have a mark on his head, signifying that it was all a dream. If this was real, he would have a mark. Won't he? Interior, Gabriel's apartment. Hallway, day. Kane is still hugging Gabriel. Kane catches sight of something far away. On the table, the dog statue is missing. Interior, Gabriel's apartment. Hallway, day. Flashback. The dog statue lies on the floor, its lower portion covered in blood. Interior, Gabriel's apartment. Hallway, day. Present day. Kane breaks the hug. Gabriel, feeling better? He looks directly at Gabriel and nods. Let me get you some water. Gabriel leaves. Kane walks over to the table where the statue is missing. He looks to the floor and spots nothing wrong. Interior, Gabriel's apartment. Hallway, flashback. Kane paints over the darkest brown stain with beige paint. Interior, Gabriel's apartment. Hallway, present day. Kane's brain is working overdrive. He walks to the bedroom, where he opens the closet. To his astonishment, some clothes and shoes are missing. Interior, dark room. Footsteps moving right to left and vice versa. Man, very conflicting, is it not? Kane's either lost his mind, or his alleged dream actually happened. Which one? Interior, Gabriel's apartment, kitchen. Gabriel opens the fridge and, bending down, takes out a gallon of water. He stands up, closing the fridge. He's startled by seeing Kane at the doorway. Gabriel, one of these days, man. He punches his palm. Kane smiles. Smiling as well, Gabriel takes two glasses from the upper cabinet. Kane, where were you, bro? Gabriel, I was about to ask you that. I spoke to Grace and she said I was out, but I can't remember anything about last night. You were out, but you didn't tell me where. You did come from somewhere. He gestures to the main door. And you have a scratch on your cheek. Gabriel touches his right cheek. Your left. Redirecting his hand, Gabriel feels the scratch. I can't remember. All I can say is, I was outside the door, and I came in.
Outside the door?
Yeah.
Outside the door.
I can't remember anything else. I thought you could help refresh my memory about last night. The last thing I remember is showing you the ring.
Gabriel checks his pockets. With a sigh of relief, he takes it out. Complete horror shows on Kane's face.
I'm going to propose today.
Exterior, forest, day, flashback. Kane's hanging upside down, looking at Christian.
Christian, you saw what I did and gave your brother. You understand what happened back there. He won't stop till he fulfills it. Your job is to stop him. If he fulfills his purpose, you're hers.
Interior, Gabriel's apartment. Hallway, present day. Kane looks at Gabriel. Interior, dark room. No footsteps.
Man, how will you resolve this situation? Talking will only get you so far. Talk is cheap. Actions are what matters. That old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
It's true. Action is the key.
Call me an asshole, but that won't hurt me like me punching you in the face.
Interior, Gabriel's apartment. Kitchen, day. Kane still looks at Gabriel.
Kane, I think I have an idea where you were.
He's piqued Gabriel's interest.
Let me show you.
Tell me.
I'm not telling you. I want to show you.
Just tell me.
Then forget it.
Kane walks away but is grabbed on the shoulder by Gabriel.
Oh, no. You tell me or don't sleep tonight. Either I show you or not.
Gabriel lets go.
All right. Don't sleep.
Suit yourself. Kane walks to the main door.
This is your last chance.
I'm going to the place. Opens the door.
Lock the door.
Exits. Interior, building, hallway. Pressing the button, Kane waits for the elevator. During the wait, he doesn't look back. The elevator arrives. Gabriel exits from his apartment. A victory smile from Kane. Opening the door, Kane allows Gabriel to enter.
Gabriel, this better be good.
It is. Exterior, street, day. They're near Gabriel's car, the decent-looking car from before. Gabriel heads to the driver's side.
Kane, I'll drive.
Jingles Gabriel's keys. Gabriel redirects and heads to the passenger side. Both enter. Interior, dark room. No footsteps.
Man, there are stupid people. And yes, there are some extremely stupid people. That's how people learn and gain wisdom. It's sad but true. Both of these individuals are going to learn from that fact.
Interior, car, day.
Gabriel looks out the passenger window.
Gabriel, I was here?
I think so.
How do you know?
Your cell phone call.
I called you?
Yeah, I forgot about it. You told me that you were coming here.
Why?
You didn't get that far. You hang up.
Did you check on me?
Yeah.
And?
We're here.
Exterior, side road. Kane parks the car and exits with the car keys.
Gabriel.
I'm getting sick and tired of this shit.
Stop complaining and see for yourself.
What did I do?
You were upset and drunk.
I came and saw a woman who was beaten and unconscious lying on the floor. What?
I had to cover for you.
Nodding forward, Gabriel walks in the direction. Kane follows behind.
Exterior, forest.
They walk. Kane behind Gabriel. They reach where Gabriel was buried.
Kane. Stop.
What did you do?
As he turns around, he's punched in the face. Kane pummels Gabriel with punches.
Then, grabbing a rock, he lunges Gabriel.
Exterior, forest, day, later.
Kane digs.
He finds the duffel bag and empty garbage bags.
Ring.
He takes out a cell and looks who's calling him.
The screen shows Gabriel.
On tiptoes, Kane looks back and sees Gabriel's dead body.
Curious, Kane answers.
Kane.
Hello?
Gabriel, voiceover.
Hey, loser.
Laughter sounds on the other end.
Excuse me?
It's your brother, Gabriel. The one you killed?
I'm gonna hang up, asshole.
You believe what you want to. You lost.
Bye.
You lost!
He looks back and gets hit in the face with dirt. Blinded, Kane falls backwards onto the duffel bag.
Dirt falls above.
Interior, Gabriel's apartment.
Hallway.
Day.
Kane's muffled scream comes from a cell phone that Gabriel, scratchless, holds.
He closes the cell.
Grace, 25, hugs Gabriel from behind.
Grace. How did he take the proposal?
Gabriel.
He seemed happy. Is he coming over?
Not now.
Gabriel kisses her.
Exterior, forest.
Day.
Black.
Fake Gabriel.
Here.
You can open them now.
The fake Gabriel towers over him. From the height, and the piles of dirt on the sides and in front, the holes partially filled. We see Kane's head above ground. His body is buried.
Fake Gabriel.
You were just talking to me, but yet I'm in front of you, alive. How can this be?
Kane.
I've gone nuts.
D answer. You can do better than that.
This is not real?
F. You didn't have a problem thinking this was real when you were choking me.
Ah.
You know the answer.
Before Kane's eyes, the fake Gabriel transforms into Christian.
Kane. Help! Someone help! Help!
Christian.
Do you hear that?
Kane.
Help! 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 Help!
Christian.
It's silence.
You got screwed, Kane. Simple as that.
Fuck you!
Christian points at Kane.
Right back at you.
Some of the dirt from the right side tumbles on Kane.
Interior. Gabriel's apartment.
Bedroom.
Day.
Gabriel's on top of Grace, kissing and removing each other's clothes.
Exterior. Forest.
Day.
Dirt from the left side tumbles down.
Kane.
Please, I beg you, I'll do anything.
Christian rolls his eyes back. A grin spreads across his face.
Interior, Gabriel's apartment.
Bedroom,
day.
In bed, Grace moans to each thrust given by Gabriel. Her moans build up to a...
Exterior, forest,
day.
Scream as Kane's face, the only thing visible now, is covered by dirt.
Interior, Gabriel's apartment.
Bedroom.
Everything's calm.
Interior, dark room.
More of the darkness has dissipated.
We see a figure shaped as a human crouching before us.
Man.
The end. Gabriel gets the girl and Kane rots.
Come on. That happy ending is for the movies and fiction. Rarely does this happen in life.
Only the select few. And Gabriel is not one of them. Welcome to the real world.
Interior. Gabriel's apartment.
Bedroom.
Ring.
Gabriel checks his cell phone.
Unknown appears.
Gabriel.
Hello?
Christian. Voiceover.
Did you fuck her?
Gabriel exits.
Hallway.
Christian.
You did, didn't you?
I know you're there, Gabe. Answer me.
Gabriel.
Yeah?
Christian.
Congrats. I'm happy for you. Celebrations are in order. After our business is over, I'll be there soon. Do whatever you have to until I get there.
Hanging up, Gabriel enters the bedroom, where he cuddles beside Grace.
Bedroom.
Later. Gabriel and Grace are asleep. The main door opens and closes.
Footfalls grow close and stop at the bedroom door.
Knock, knock.
Kane's voice.
Gabe?
Knocks again.
Gabe?
Gabriel.
Kane?
We gotta go. A guy's waiting for us downstairs.
Grace.
Tell him he's busy.
Kane's voice.
Can't. It's urgent.
Gabriel.
I'm coming.
Gabriel gets out of bed and puts on his pants.
Kane.
You got a minute.
Grace.
What's the rush?
Kane doesn't respond.
Grace to Gabriel.
When you coming back?
Gabriel.
Not sure. I'll give you a call.
Gabriel, putting on his shirt, exits.
Hallway.
Gabriel stunned. He sees Kane, who has a scratch on his left cheek.
Kane hugs him.
Kane.
Let's go.
Leaving one of his arms around Gabriel's neck, Kane leads Gabriel out.
Interior. Building.
Hallway.
Pressing the elevator button, Kane, nonchalantly,
waits while Gabriel stares at him. Kane,
how was the fuck? Good, huh?
Pleasure is not the way it used to be for me before. The elevator arrives. Kane holds the door open. Kane,
mind getting in?
Seeing that Gabriel's entering slowly, he shoves Gabriel in. Interior, elevator. Gabriel glances at Kane, trying not to stare. Kane,
he's dead as requested. You heard it over the phone.
Gabriel, but...
You heard his screams over the phone.
He's dead. That was part of the agreement you and I made. The other part is collecting you.
Is there a way that...
No.
But he deserved it.
I don't care. You made the deal.
No one has to know.
I'll know, and my bitch of a boss will know.
The elevator stops. Kane exits and holds the door open. Interior, exterior, elevator. Kane,
stop wasting my time and get out.
Gabriel hesitates in moving.
You got the count to three.
One, two, Gabriel exits.
Move.
Interior, Gabriel's apartment. Bedroom. Grace is putting her jeans on. From outside, a loud crash. Grace heads to the window. She sees a lot of people looking at the lower half of the street. A car, with its windshield cracked, is a few feet ahead. Behind, Gabriel lies on the street. Blood spews out of him. Interior, dark room. Our night vision is working. We see the man has a full head of hair and a bulky build.
Man, you can't back out of a deal.
That's how people die. Justice, good, bad, these are meaningless. It's another way for life to hurt you. Happiness is not always the end result, just a byproduct of whatever ending that bitch feels at the moment. A light shines from above and brightens the whole area. Regaining our vision back, the room shaped. The wall is covered with pictures of a female teenager, news clippings, and white papers with writings on them. The mystery man is Christian, who stands in the center. There's no sight of a chair. Christian,
what can you do about it?
Nothing. Take it as life lessons, which you're going to have to take it, like a dose of bad medicine.
It's life.
Christian snaps his fingers. The ring appears in his palm, dissolved to the ring, now in Tanis's palm.
There is a book be saying to love thy brother.
Wider. Tanis drinks some more wine, drains her glass.
Only, that don't always be working out so well.
Not even in that most optimistic of books. She refills the glass from the bottle.
Family be a blessing or a curse, but either way, you be immersed.
She plops the ring into the glass.
And some, they drown.
As the ring sinks, the wine clears. Tanis observes this with curiosity. She takes another sip from the glass and frowns.
Wine into water, the opposite of a miracle. Now what you be making of that?
She sets the glass on the table, on the glass.
The way Tanis be seeing it? Whether she be looking at the world? Either everything is a miracle.
The glass shatters. Or ain't nothing a miracle. And Tanis laughs, as the black diamond glistens wet in its golden band atop a mound of crystal shards. Fade out. This concludes the iScript of Soul Shadows 2, Kane, by Gabriel Moronta. Feel free to visit us at www.iscript.com.
Our privacy policy strictly forbids the resale or transfer of any iScript product that you obtain a limited license to by downloading the script for your personal use. We have agreed with all parties that provide availability of scripted material that we will cooperate to the fullest extent allowed by law to prosecute any unauthorized user of an iScript product.